Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. Not sure where everyone is this morning, but I'm delighted to see those of you who are here, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. First of all, at 2 p.m. here, we have a council meeting today. Monday, our volunteers for the food pantry are Michelle and Nels Lofgren. Wednesday at 5:30, our youth group will commence its usual meetings. On that night as well, I'm going to be having a chat with the older kids and their parents about confirmation. So please keep us in prayer as that youth group begins. Please keep our youth and teachers in prayer as school begins. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able and join in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join in our gathering song, God is Here, number 526.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lie in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long? Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart. They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 82 responsively. God stands to charge the divine council assembled, giving judgment in the midst of the gods.
How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked?
Save the weak and the orphan, defend the humble and the needy.
Rescue the weak and poor, deliver them from the power of the wicked.
They do not know, neither do they understand. They wander about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken.
Now I say to you, you are gods, and all of your children of the Most High.
Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince.
Arise, O God, and rule the earth, for you shall take all nations for your own.
The second reading is from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. By faith, people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put armies in flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Word of life, word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Even though we have no children here today, I want to read you a story. It is called The Seven Blind Mice. Do any of you know this story? All right. This is a story by Ed Young. Of course, we begin with just a little red mark. Seven blind mice. One day, seven blind mice were surprised to find a strange something by their pond. "What is it?" they cried. And they all ran home. You just see their little tails of different colors. On Monday, Red Mouse went first to find out. "It's a pillar," he said. No one believed him. On Tuesday, Green Mouse set out. He was the second to go. "It's a snake," he said. "No," said Yellow Mouse on Wednesday. "It's a spear." He was the third in turn. The fourth was Purple Mouse. He went on Thursday. "It's a great cliff," he said. Mouse went on Friday, the fifth to go. "It's a fan," he cried. "I felt it move." The sixth to go was Blue Mouse. He went on Saturday and said, "Oh, it's nothing but a rope." Do you know what it is? But the others didn't agree. They began to argue. "A snake, a rope, a fan, a cliff." Until on Sunday, White Mouse, the seventh mouse, went to the pond. When she came upon the something, she ran up one side, and she ran down the other side. She ran across the top, and from end to end. "Ah," said White Mouse, "now I see. The something is as sturdy as a pillar, supple as a snake, wide as a cliff, sharp as a spear, breezy as a fan, stringy as a rope. But altogether, the something is what?
An
elephant." And when the other mice ran up one side and down the other, across the something from end to end, they agreed. Now they saw two. The mouse moral. Knowing the part, they make a fine tale. But wisdom comes from seeing the whole.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Jesus said, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Oh, well, yes, Jesus, we did expect you to bring peace. Do we not hail you as the Prince of Peace? At your birth, the angel heralded, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And did you not pray before your betrayal and arrest that all would be one? Look at those beautiful words in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me." And now you speak of division, and the worst kind of division at that, division within families. Fathers against sons and sons against fathers, mothers against daughters and daughters against mothers, mothers-in-law against daughters-in-law and daughters-in-law against mothers-in-law, generational divisions, broken homes, broken hearts. You speak of coming to bring fire to the earth and the distress you experienced as you awaited your crucifixion. That peace promised at your birth becomes a threat of division if people reject you as Messiah. Family members will divide on the issue of whether or not you are the long-awaited, long-promised Messiah. They will divide on whether to do things the way they've always been done, or to follow this one who calls himself the way and the truth and the life. You are all probably familiar with the prayer usually referred to as the Serenity Prayer. You heard of that? It was written by American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr and is commonly quoted as, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." Niebuhr's prayer originally asked for courage first, and specifically for changing things that must be changed, not things that simply can be changed. "Father, give us courage to change what must be altered, serenity to accept what cannot be helped, and the insight to know the one from the other." The prayer spread rapidly, often without attribution to Niebuhr, through church groups in the 1930s and 1940s, and was adopted and popularized by Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs. The prayer has appeared in many versions, and here is one of them. "God, give me the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen." Think about that prayer in the context of our gospel reading, seeing the divisions that existed at the time of Christ and that he knew would be coming as people debated about whether the Messiah had come or they needed to look for another. When we look at the history of the church, we see divisions as believers attempted to find ways to live out their faith. We see the church splinter into East and West as people tried to find the courage to change things that they could change. We see the church fragment into the multitude of denominations that we have today. We see a great need for wisdom in determining what can be changed, what should be changed, and how it should be changed. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. That may be an easy thing to say, but it is not an easy thing to do. Surrendering to God's will, knowing that God will make all things right. Can we pray those words with confidence? Can we faithfully endure the challenges that face us as followers of Christ? 25 years ago, four denominations decided to enter into a formula of agreement. These churches of Reformation heritage felt the increasing urgency for the church to proclaim a gospel of unity in contemporary society. The discussion began in 1962. 3 decades later, in 1992, a report was issued entitled A Common Calling, the Witness of Our Reformation Churches in North America Today, which stated that there were no church-dividing differences among these three churches, and unanimously recommended that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Reformed Church in America, and the United Church of Christ declare that they are in full communion with one another. This recommendation also requires that they recognize each other as churches in which the gospel is rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered according to the Word of God, that they withdraw any historic condemnation by one side or the other as inappropriate for the faith and life of our churches today, that they continue to recognize each other's baptism and authorize and encourage the sharing of the Lord's Supper among their members, that they recognize each other's various ministries and make provision for the orderly exchange of ordained ministers of word and sacrament, that they establish appropriate channels of consultation and decision-making within the existing structures of the churches, that they commit themselves to an ongoing process of theological dialogue in order to clarify further the common understanding of the faith and foster its common expression in evangelism, witness, and service, that they pledge themselves to living together under the gospel in such a way that the principle of mutual affirmation and admonition becomes the basis of a trusting relationship in which respect and love for the other will have a chance to grow. These recommendations led to the production of several documents intended for study in the churches. Through all this time of study, conversation, and prayer, it was acknowledged that each of the churches grounds its life in authentic New Testament traditions of Christ, that the core traditions of these churches belong together within the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and that the historic give and take among these churches has resulted in fundamental mutual criticisms that need to be understood as diverse witnesses to the one gospel we confess in common. The working principle of mutual affirmation and admonition insists that while remaining differences must be acknowledged, it is the inherent unity in Christ that is determinative, and therefore the remaining differences are not church dividing. The vote on the Declaration of Full Communion took place at the respective churchwide assemblies in 1997. What is full communion? It is a way for denominations to affirm each other as members of the same baptized body of Christ, allowing churches to recognize each other's sacraments, affirm their various ministries, and it allows for the recognition of the ordination of ministers, which has led to the sharing of clergy between denominations. It is what allows me to serve as pastor of both St. Luke's Lutheran and Union Congregational. During the 20th anniversary of the Formula of Agreement, the participant churches declared again the purpose and intent of the agreement, recognizing and affirming both word and sacrament, but also remembering the need for repentance and reconciliation. And last week, during the 2022 ELCA Churchwide Assembly, representatives of the other three churches presented readings to the Assembly, including Mark Pettis, Ecumenical and Interfaith Relationship Manager for the United Church of Christ. Leadership from each denomination produced a joint video that was shown during the 225th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA and was also presented during the 2022 ELCA Churchwide Assembly. The formula of agreement does not mean that the churches are in total agreement with each other. Far from it. They differ on issues of human sexuality, on the way in which Christ is present in Holy Communion, and on questions of predestination. However, the churches have determined that any such issues are not church-dividing, that our commonalities outweigh our differences and allow us to be full communion partners. A year ago, I preached at St. Luke's and Union Congregational for the first time. The call committee, various people on the staffs of the Pacifica and Rocky Mountain Synods, and I had engaged in considerable prayer and discernment leading up to that day, which is the day that the members of both churches voted unanimously to call me as their shared pastor. The decision by the churches to share a pastor is not one that was made lightly, I know. For while these churches have quite a bit in common, they also have many dissimilarities. Both churches have expressed their desire to remain independent, but to do some things in common. Just as in the formula of agreement, there must be an acknowledgement that while there are different traditions and different understandings of various points of doctrine, each church is a place where the gospel is rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered according to the word of God, that we recognize each other's various ministries and share in them as appropriate, that we foster the common understanding of the faith and foster its common expression in evangelism, witness, and service, and that we pledge to live together under the gospel in such a way that our respect and love for each other will continue to grow. As we do so, let us hold in our hearts the full prayer for serenity, courage, and wisdom. God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. God grant us that peace that the world cannot give, the peace that can be brought only by the Prince of Peace, the one we acknowledge as Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give us the courage to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, enduring to the end, trusting in you and surrendering to your will. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Lead On, O King Eternal. It is number 805.
Thank you.
confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain your church. We pray for all who dedicate their lives to serving your people. Renew our commitment to our siblings in faith around the globe, and bless the work of our ecumenical and interfaith partners. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain your creation. We pray for all places affected by natural disasters. Transform the devastation of floods and fires into fertile ground for new life and growth. Fill heaven and earth with your life-giving spirit. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Rise, O God, and sustain the nations. We pray for all elected officials. We pray for all those who are running for political office. Kindle in them a desire to administer your justice. Strengthen their resolve to defend those who are vulnerable and to stand publicly against all forms of oppression. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain those who are oppressed. We pray for people harmed by racist discrimination, ableist discrimination, and all people discriminated against based on their gender identity or sexual orientation. Rescue us from all systems that degrade our fellow human beings. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain this assembly. We pray for this community, celebrating with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep, and praying for those who are on our prayer chain, all who are in need of healing of mind, body, and spirit, especially those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. In our joy and in our tears, be near us. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we remember the saints who have gone before us. May we run with perseverance the race set before us until we find our rest in you. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending in your offering or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory praise and thanksgiving. It is number 689, verse 1. duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
Thank you. us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God. You have refreshed us with the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, you strengthen us for this gift. In faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As you go into the world in ministry to your neighbor, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now let us sing together, On Our Way Rejoicing, number 537.